The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I find Peter's statement to Jesus in verse 9 very interesting. "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Peter's statement to Jesus reminds me of a poem by Lucy Nanson. She says, "Wash my hands on Maundy Thursday, not my feet. My hands peel potatoes, wipe messes up from the floor, change dirty diapers, clean the grease from pots and pans, have pointed in anger and pushed away in tears. In years past, they have smacked a child and raised a fist, fumbled with nervousness, shaken with fear. I've flung them when waiting for news. I've wrung them when waiting for news to come. Crushed a letter I'd rather forget. Covered my mouth when I've been caught out. Touched forbidden things. Childhood memories do not grow dim. These hands have dug gardens, planted seeds, picked fruit and berries, weeded out and pruned trees, found bleeding from rose thorns, dirt and blood mixed together when washed before a cup of tea. Love expressed by them, asking for your respect in a handshake of a warm greeting, a gentle rubbing of a child's bump, the caress of a lover, the softness of a baby's cheek, sounds of music played on them in tunes on a flute. They've held a frightened teenager, touched a father in his death when cold skin tells the end of life has come, but not the end of love, and comforted a mother losing agility and health. With my hands outstretched before you, I stand humbled and in awe of your gentle washing in water, the softness of the towel symbolizing a cleansing of Christ's servanthood. wash my hands on Maundy Thursday and not my feet. Peter's response in an appeal for Jesus to not only wash his feet, but also his head and his hands as well. Peter seems to understand that this foot washing has a spiritual meaning. Whatever benefit Jesus is imparting, Peter wants as much as possible. As mentioned, the mention of hands is often symbolic of the work or effort, as Lucy Nanson's poem gives us a good insight into Peter's request, because his head is the center of his thinking. Our heads are the center of our thinking. And if Jesus is offering divine cleansing, then Peter sincerely wants that to apply to his behavior, to his efforts, and to his thoughts. However, Peter's response is still a stubborn and a demanding response. As Jesus will point out in the next text, it falls short of grasping the full meaning. Jesus will distinguish between those who are bathed and need not to be washed, opposed to those who are entirely unclean. In the context of this exchange with Peter and the reference that is in verse 11 to Judas's betrayal, Jesus's next remark in verse 11 has major implications for how we interpret salvation tonight. The Gospel of John is a swinging pendulum. From up, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, to down. He came to his people, but his own did not receive him. And now it's time to go back. Verse 1 says, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. If you knew you were going to die in under a week, wouldn't you just prioritize and take care of the really important things? In John's Gospel, that means that for Jesus, taking time to wash his disciples' feet was really important to him. Has anyone ever read the Sacred Diaries of Adrian Plass? Oh, you're in for a treat. Adrian Plass is an author who writes primarily Christian humour from an Anglican perspective. He tells a story of how the rector, who decided to hold a foot washing ceremony on Maundy Thursday, and it was the first one that he ever did, and it was the first one the church had ever done as well, and it was the last. The rector had the church secretary call all the vestry members, and she tried to get 12 people to agree to sit in a row in front and let the rector wash their feet. She got turned down 6 times. And she got discouraged and ended up setting up a half a dozen chairs for a half a dozen pair of feet instead of the 12 that the rector had insisted upon. That evening, as the sun set and the moon rose, gleaming through the stained glass scene of Jesus in the garden behind the altar, they sat up the front in a line of folding chairs facing the rest of the congregation. With their shoes neatly lined up next to each one of their chairs, like little soldiers. There was Joyce up there on the end seat. She had had a pedicure just for the occasion. I could see the brilliant coral nail polish blinking from my seat, says Adrian. I could see Ralph's gold-toed socks, neatly folded over the top of his newly polished wingtip shoes. I could smell a hint of Febreze that Denise must have sprayed in her shoes just before she left home. We in the congregation got to watch while the rector washed the 6 best-smelling pairs of feet in the entire town. John's Gospel alone has the foot-washing scene. Why is that? Well, as John's Jesus explains, it is to set an example for us of service to others. But I don't think John wants us to sit in the congregation this Maundy Thursday and watch Jesus wash someone else's feet and say, isn't Jesus a thoughtful person? We ought to be doing things like this in our church. This text is not about watching Jesus put his hands on someone else's feet. It's about letting Jesus put his hands on your feet and on my feet. Now, not all of us want that. One reason may be that we're embarrassed about our feet. It's not as if we at Holy Spirit Anglican Church are a foot model convention, are we? Giselle thinks that my feet look funny. She thinks my toes are far too long. I think there was once a comment that went something like this: if you ever lost a thumb in an accident, the doctor could amputate your big toe and transplant it on one, and no one would ever know the difference. So feet can be embarrassing, can't they? As we get older, maybe one day we look down at our feet and say to ourselves, whose veiny, bulbous, knobby feet are those? And how did they get on the end of my ankles? A deeper reason why we don't want Jesus handling our feet is because to allow Jesus to touch our feet is to allow him to touch our will. We all have a mind. We all have emotions. We all have a will, our decision-making power, our motivations. Our feet are how we put our decisions into motion and get to places and do things. We can think about doing something, for example, like, I think I'll go to her father's memorial out of respect for her. We can feel we ought to do something. I have a feeling it would be a good thing to do. But if we're going to actually show up and walk up to her afterwards and offer a comforting embrace, our feet have to be involved. To allow Jesus to clean our feet is to remove all that prevents us from using our feet to follow him, to scrub away our insecurities, to wash away our weariness and our weakness, to buff off our bitterness. And then our feet are refreshed to do what feet in the Bible were meant to do, and that is to follow God. In the Exodus story, which is the backstory to this Maundy Thursday communion, God says in chapter 12, verse 11, this is how you shall eat the Passover lamb, with your loins girded, your staff in your hand, and your sandals on your feet. In other words, be ready to move out and follow Moses, out of this place of bondage into the promised land. Be ready to use your feet. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 116, verses 8 to 9 says, you have delivered my soul from death, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Jesus said, the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And you're going to have to use your feet. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're going to need your feet to follow that way. Romans 10:15 and also Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Jesus' words to Peter are also addressed to us as well. Unless I wash you, you have no share in me. Our text tonight is our chance to allow Jesus to cleanse our feet, our decision-making power, so we can follow him as we leave this place tonight. Not everybody in this story wants Jesus' hands on their feet. Peter didn't. Pilate didn't. Caiaphas didn't. Pilate chose to use his feet to pace about his palace, searching for some balm for his sore conscience. Peter chose to use his feet to stand by a fire, warming himself while denying his Lord. Just before his foot washing scene, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. It is the Son of God who takes off his outer robe, ties a towel around himself, and now kneels before you, requesting the honour of washing your feet. Let us pray. Father God, we can only be fully satisfied by loving the way Jesus loved. Not with easy words, but with humble actions. The kind of actions that may never be noticed. Oh Lord, you call us to wash feet and to serve in the hard and the messy. You call us to serve others without glamour and without acclamation. You call us to leave the table where we might be served and to do for others instead. And not just to serve those who love us. You ask us to serve our enemy with equal compassion and with equal humility. Lord, you know this is not our nature. You know how we seek the comfortable and the lovely and the self-affirming. But you have not only modeled it, you have commanded it. You said, now that you know these things, now we know. Knowing isn't so hard. It's the doing, Lord. It's the doing. Help us, Lord, to do. And amazingly, when obedience feels like it costs so much, you promise instead a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.